Good morning.
Good morning.
See all of you here. It's good to be back with you this morning. I said, you know, it's good to get away for a few days and have a little time off, but it's also pretty nice to just get back into the routine of things and everything back to normal. So it's good to be back here this morning. Just a little quick review. I know it's been a long series and we're about two-thirds of the way there after this morning. But at the first of the year, we started this belief series. And for the first 10 weeks, we looked at some core Christian beliefs. What does the Bible teach us? What are some of those core Christian beliefs that come straight from the Bible? It's not something that we're pulling out of thin air, but it's straight from God's Word. And we looked at God. We looked at salvation. We looked at the church, what the Bible says about all of those things. Then we shifted here a few weeks ago, or several weeks ago, to so now what? Now that this Christianity is a part of our lives, how do we live out that life as a Christian? What are some practices that we can put into place as we live our lives in this world as a Christian? And so today we get to the last one of these, and it is sharing my faith. And so before we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks for this day, and we're extremely thankful that we are gathered here this morning to hear your word, to look more in depth at your word about sharing our faith with the people around us. Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts and minds now as we turn to your word. Lord, that you would block out a few of the distractions that we might have so that we can simply focus on your word. And Lord, that what we hear here today will have an impact on our lives and it will help us to boldly proclaim that good news to the people around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we really get into things, let's go ahead and look at the key practice for today. It is, I share my faith with others to fulfill God's purposes. Why don't you say that with me? I share my faith with others to fulfill God's purposes. I don't know if you've noticed, but there's kind of been a repetitive theme with these key practices, and the part of it is that last part, I share my faith, I give of my resources, I share my time to fulfill God's purposes. Not what we think our purpose is, but what God's purpose is for our life. And that's what we're going to look at this morning as well with sharing our faith. The key verse today is in Ephesians 6, 19-20. Why don't you say this with me?
Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Ephesians 6, 19-20.
So Paul here is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he's saying that we are to proclaim this good news, and he calls it the mystery of this good news, which kind of ties back to our Lenten series where we talked about the mystery of the Father's love, because it's really something that is hard for us to comprehend, how a father would send his son into the world for one purpose, and that is to die. But to die for the whole world, the sins of the whole world, and to be resurrected to life to promise us eternal life. That is the mystery of that gospel. And I'm going to say that we live in a very challenging time in our world today. I know Doug Wagner stopped by the office yesterday morning, and we got off on this, and I didn't even tell him what my message was about, but I'd already written this before he mentioned it. But he said, we live in a world where everything has to be politically correct. And that makes it a challenge for us as Christians, because we have to be sometimes so careful what we say and how we say it. I mean, literally, there are times when our jobs might be on the line, or promotion might be on the line, our reputation might be in jeopardy, based on what we say, based on our beliefs in Jesus. And so it's a challenge sometimes as Christians, as we live our lives in the world, to balance this as we proclaim this life-saving message that Jesus has for us and for the entire world. I mentioned to the children that the story of Jonah really fascinates me. And I know it's fascinating from the standpoint of a huge fish swallowing Jonah, and he's in there for 3 days and three nights. But that's not really the part that's so fascinating to me. The part that's fascinating to me about Jonah is the fact that I can relate to Jonah. And what I mean by that is, if you recall, when the Lord calls Jonah to go to Nineveh, what does he do? He says, "You've got the wrong dude. I am not him. I'm getting out of here." And if you really think about it, I mean, it's understandable. I mean, Nineveh was known for its wickedness and the evil people that lived there. Jonah didn't want any part to do with them. And in fact, he probably thought, well, they deserve to get God's wrath. And so Jonah runs. He runs the opposite direction, gets on a ship that's headed to Tarshish, and we know what happens then. The storm comes up, and the sailors all are wondering what is taking place. Jonah says, "It's my fault. If you throw me overboard, the storm will calm." Which is exactly what they do. And then Jonah is swallowed by this big fish, and he's in the belly of this fish 3 days and three nights praying. Yeah, who wouldn't be? Right? He's praying. And then, after those 3 days and three nights, he's spit out on the dry land. And what happens? Yahweh comes to him a second time, and he says, "Go to Nineveh." What does Jonah think is the wisest thing to do at that point? Yeah, go to Nineveh. He certainly didn't want that experience to happen again, or maybe even something worse. So he goes to Nineveh. He proclaims the good news of Jesus, or of Yahweh, the one true God, in repentance. He proclaims repentance to them. And what do? They repent. They do. That they repent and turn from their evil ways. In fact, the king issues a decree that Yahweh is the true God that needs to be worshipped. Now, this is a whole other sermon, but what does Jonah do? Anybody know? He's actually kind of ticked that they turned from their evil ways, because you see, in his mind, he thought they'd get what they deserve. And it's certainly what they deserved is not the grace that God had shown them. And so when I said this is a fascinating story to me because I can relate to it, I can relate to Jonah. Because in my mind, if the Lord calls me to go to a certain people or to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to someone, my initial reaction is, "You've got to be kidding me. Me? You want me to do that? I would just as soon run the other direction." And I might even have a thought in my mind, too, about who needs to hear it. Well, those people certainly don't need to hear it because they need to get what they deserve. And so I can relate to Jonah. But yet, where has God called us to share the good news? Where has he called us to, and who has he called us to share it with? The children said it. Everyone. It's not for me to determine who that is. It's not for me to determine the time. It is to share it with the people that I have the opportunity to share it with. That can be a challenge. We talked about it in Bible class this morning, how, you know, the fear of, you know, if we share that good news of Jesus with someone, what is going to be their reaction? What kind of questions are they going to throw at me? Jesus doesn't address any of that. Well, he says in the key verse for today, to proclaim it fearlessly, and that he will give you the words. But we are to proclaim that good news. And I guess the thought is, how do we go about doing that? One of the phrases that I think many people know, many of us have probably used it on our children and on various people in times and places, and that is the phrase, "Actions speak louder than words." I said in Bible class, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately, but a lot of times, unfortunately, people are watching what we do and watching what we say, how we conduct ourselves. And I thought about this. I thought, you know, when we're, if it's a group of guys around and they're kind of forcing around, cutting up, telling maybe some off-color jokes, using some obscene language, where do we find ourselves? Do we find ourselves laughing at it, joining in, telling them to stop or walk away? If we're in a conversation with people and we start talking about someone else, rumors that we've heard, things that are going on in someone's life, which, by the way, the eighth commandment, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor, we talked about that in confirmation, that it doesn't always mean that if it's true, you say it. Because what we are to do is we are to put the best construction on things. We are to build each other up. We're not to hurt someone's reputation. But where do we find ourselves in those conversations? Do we find ourselves joining in? Do we find ourselves just sitting there laughing? Or do we say, stop, let's don't do that, or do we walk away? You see, unfortunately, even we as Christians fail. We don't always do what's right. But yet people are watching us. They're watching how we react to things. They're watching what we say. They're looking to see how we respond to certain circumstances in our lives. So people watch our actions. And that can be a great witness. That can be a great sharing of our faith of how we react in those situations. The second one is, everybody has a story. Now, everyone's life story is totally different than the person next to you, unless it's in your family, then some of them overlap, right? But regardless of your life, regardless of where you are in life, I'm sure that most of you can think of a circumstance or situation in your life that has made an impact on your life. And believe it or not, there's someone out there that may be going through a similar situation in their life that you can share in their pain and their hurt. And regardless of how painful it might be for you, regardless of the hurt that it might even bring up in your life, again, sharing that experience with them, that is one way that you can connect. And that you can be a witness and share that witness of how God has worked in your life and walked you through that situation in your life that can be an encouragement for them as they live their life. And so our life story can be a way that we are able to share our faith with the people around us. And finally, at some point, it does take words, right? It does take words about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came into this world to die for them personally, for you personally, to bring you forgiveness and to bring you life. In our Romans passage for today, Romans chapter 10, I want to skip down to 13. But it says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him who they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." What has God called us to do as Christians? To share the good news. Have you ever thought of your feet as being beautiful? Not me. Ask any of my kids and they'll tell me I have stinky feet. Right? My toenails are funny looking, some of them. Yeah. They're not that beautiful. But what makes them beautiful is sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's what we as Christians are called to do. We are called to share our faith with those around us, whether it's with our actions, whether it's with our life story, or whether it's with just the words of Jesus Christ, that God loves them and forgives them and promises them eternal life. We are called to to share our faith. I would like for us to look at the key practice one more time and say this with me. I share my faith with others to fulfill God's purposes. I pray that that's what we're about here at St. John, that we do share our faith with others to fulfill God's purposes for our lives so that more people will come to know who He is. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.